So, the issue of the sexual harassment sort of began with the breaking of the Harvey Weinstein story, and then, since then we've just had this kind of avalanche of allegations made against powerful men. And eventually the story started happening in the journalism industry as well, where suddenly we were seeing stories all the time, and a near daily barrage of stories about prominent journalists in the US who had been found to have been engaging in inappropriate behavior. And so the survey project was sort of born of that, conversations where we were trying to figure out how are we going to cover this when now that it's our own industry. I think it's a question that a lot of newsrooms were asking themselves, particularly the ones where allegations were being made by current staff, and then the publication then had to cover that the way that they would any other story. I think really the genesis for us was the Shitty Media Men list, which was an anonymous Google document that was circulated between women journalists, where people were writing in names of men and sort of documenting their experiences. It was a really controversial list. It was totally anonymous. None of the allegations had been vetted, and it was very quickly pulled down after a story was written about it. And really, it was after that that we were trying to figure out, okay, how do we weigh in here? And so we decided that looking at HR policies was a way for us to sort of push the conversation forward. We very obviously have a problem, with newsroom culture, and answering the question, how do we change newsroom culture? We thought at least begin with having a really transparent and critical look at the policies that govern those cultures.
So what did you do? What did you try to set out to find and ask newsrooms and other journalists?
Yeah, so we designed three surveys, and it was a very collaborative effort, sort of spearheaded by the women of Columbia Journalism Review, really. And one of the surveys was for staff journalists. We also created a survey that was designed for senior newsroom leadership or human resources professionals. And we pushed those out. We received some feedback from journalists who work as freelancers, and subsequently created a third survey that better addressed the sort of working reality of freelancers who are not tied to one company. And we advertised those on social media, on our website. We posted those in sort of public journalism forums, Facebook groups, email listservs. And distributed them sort of throughout our own sort of professional network, sending them to former colleagues, to friends. And those surveys were open for about a month. And then last week, we released sort of the preliminary results of those surveys. Really what we were looking to do with the two that went to reporters, we wanted to know, does your company have a policy? How was that policy introduced to you? Do you feel like you have a solid understanding of that policy? Did you have to go to training? If something happened and you wanted to file a formal complaint, would you know how to do so? And then we asked reporters if they were comfortable to share their experiences navigating those policies. The HR survey was sort of looked more at the structure of the company's policy. What is it? We asked for copies, electronic copies of the policy. We asked them to detail when a person files a complaint, what happens? Do you offer services, be it medical, legal, mental health services, once a complaint has been filed? We asked for some basic demographic information so that we could get an idea of, what a newsroom looks like. And we sent that out to the HR folks. We heard from hundreds of journalists. We got a sort of overwhelming response. And, you know, we're sort of having this cultural reckoning, and it's very clear that people want to be heard and want to talk about these things, and they care a great deal about, you know, figuring out where we've fallen short and sort of talking about the ways in which we've fallen short. So we were super disappointed when we, by the advertised deadline, didn't hear back from any of the newsroom leadership who we had sent the survey to.
Why don't you think you heard back from anybody?
You know, I mean, I guess it's hard to sort of speculate why any one newsroom might not have responded. But I did talk to, you know, an HR expert, a woman named Sharon Sellers, who runs a consulting company and sort of helps newsrooms design, among other things, sexual harassment policies and reporting procedures and such. And her view was that there may have been the sort of fear of being made an example of, that nobody wanted to be sort of, as she put it, under the microscope right now, particularly now while we're having this moment. And she talked about, you know, conversations that are happening in the HR field about, well, maybe the way that we thought was the right way to design a reporting procedure or to design sexual harassment policies wasn't the right way, and that's why we've not been able to catch these things. That's why people are not comfortable reporting them. And so she said there's a lot of uncertainty there. That might be one reason. I'm not entirely sure. I think that's something that we're hoping to figure out in the coming weeks.
So you did hear back from a lot of individual journalists. Mm-hmm. What did you hear? What did they say?
I mean, dozens wrote to us with personal experiences that they have with harassment in previous newsrooms, in current newsrooms, and you know, those are things that, with permission from those journalists, we'll be reporting out over the next couple of weeks. Many of them, in fact, most people said that their companies did have sexual harassment policies, which was good to hear, but a number of journalists, both staff journalists and freelance journalists, said that aside from new employee orientation, those policies were not discussed, that some people were required to attend a single training when they were hired if they were on staff, but that they hadn't ever been in any sort of formal setting where it was discussed again. For freelancers, the vast majority of them had never been handed either a paper or an electronic copy of a sexual harassment policy of the sexual harassment policies of the companies that they work with. And as a result, didn't understand them, had no idea what to do if something happened and they wanted to file a complaint. And that was really troubling. Most of the reporters that we heard back from were women. I think the number was 81% self-identified as female. But we did hear back from men. We heard back from folks who identified a number of other ways as well. One of the other things that we sort of found was, you know, it was 53% of the reporters that we heard back from said that they either didn't understand how to file a complaint, a formal complaint, or were unsure if they would know how to do so, which seemed to suggest that there's a real problem with communication and, you know, a sexual harassment policy on paper or even as discussed in a new employee training situation becomes completely useless if, when something happens, the employees are still not understanding what steps that they need to take in order to successfully file a complaint and have the issue looked into.
Were you surprised by what you heard from journalists around these policies and how they can navigate the system?
I was distressed, and it was shocking, certainly, particularly because we heard back from so many people. And so in going through the results and sort of compiling the statistics, it was a little overwhelming just to realize, again, just how pervasive a problem we have. But I think, you know, because of all of the stories that have been coming out the last couple of months, because there are so many of them, that you know, my surprise is waning. I'll say that.
I mean, what do you think journalists need to be thinking about, or newsrooms need to be thinking about, as they're reporting all these stories about other industries and other people? I mean, how should we be looking inward?
I mean, I think it's all of these stories are important, regardless of industry, but I think it's especially important that when the stories involve our own, that we apply the same rigor to reporting those stories, and that we really have the same expectations in talking to these our own companies that we expect when we report these sorts of things for folks in Hollywood, in Congress, and anywhere else where they happen. If our values around transparency and, you know, around a rigorous quest for the truth are to be taken seriously, then they have to be equally applied to our own industry. And that can be really hard to do. It can be uncomfortable. And I think it's really necessary that, you know, while reporters all over the country are reporting these stories out, which is really, really difficult to do, that we also make sure that when it's time for us to report those stories close to home, that we're approaching them with the same rigor.